Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia Zone Credit Union Studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, 4 sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Call 1-800-800-MOVE or online at gapackandload.com. Wellstar Health System. More than healthcare, people care. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
All right, a good Thursday morning to all of you in Dog Nation. Welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios, right here in the heartbeat of the Bulldog Nation, Athens, Georgia, the classic city, presented by Georgia Pack and Load, Wellstar Health System, and attorney Ken Nugent. And welcome aboard. And while I'm thinking about it, I want to remind everybody, you can listen to past episodes of Bulldog Roundtable. Just all you got to do is go to 680thefan.com, or you can listen to them on the 680 The Fan app. Either of those two sources, and you can keep up to date if you happen to miss a show or miss some of our great guests. As, for instance, our opening guest this morning, Rusty Manziel. He is the recruiting analyst for Dogs 24/7. And let me promise you right now, you see him on Fox 5. You, of course, hear him here on 680 The Fan. He has his own recruiting show. He is the top of the mountain when it comes to college football recruiting and where the Bulldogs are concerned. If you want to stay on top of what the Dogs are doing recruiting-wise, then you need to be taking a full account of everything that Rusty Manziel is doing. And right now, Dogs 24/7, you can get a full year subscription for half price. You can buy 6 months, get 6 months free, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. You'll always know where the Dogs stand with recruiting. And Rusty, welcome aboard, and thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's that time of the year, I guess, where we are into roster management. We seem to be losing guys, and so right now, some guys are saying they're staying, some guys are saying they're going, some guys are saying that they're entering the transfer portal. All in all, it's leaving our head coach Kirby Smart with a lot of roster managing to do, and particularly where positions are concerned.
That's the newest thing in college football. And going forward, who handles the roster management each year? Now, this portal is upon us, and players can leave and go places. Not only are you trying to finish your recruiting class for the high school prospects, you're trying to come back and keep the kids you have. I can't imagine what Kirby Smart's going through, but I'm telling you right now, he's won some very big battles. Last night, he won one with Zamir White, the young man. Not saying a battle, a recruitment to keep him or let him go, whichever one was the best decision for everybody. But you see kids like Zamir White, James Cook, Jordan Davis. Devontae Wyatt was the one that really surprised me. Here's a senior, probably had a third or fourth round grade going into the NFL and decided to come back for another year. So you look at those types of things. Tyson Campbell expected to leave. Eric Stokes expected to leave. Tyreek Stevenson was not expected to leave. You see a starter certainly concerning at the defensive backs. But overall, the way it looks this morning and what Kirby Smart and his staff has done the last 10 or 12 days, he's got to be happy about things.
Rusty, what about the defensive back position? Remind us again just how good Kelee Ringo is.
Man, I saw Kelee Ringo out in I saw him in a 707 national tournament down in Tampa, and it's kind of ironic. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but he played against Eric Gilbert one game, and I said, you know what? If there's anybody that can cover a guy like that, it's Keelan Ringo, because he was 200, 203-pound corner, 6'1", 6'2". Here's a kid that runs a 10-300 meters. Awesome young man to meet him and his mother. And many know his mother's going through cancer right now, cancer treatments. There's a lot of prayers going up for her. But Keeley's a great kid. And he was, from 24/7 Sports, the number one corner in the country. And I fully expect him to be a starter for the University of Georgia next year. They're going to need him. And I think Georgia fans are really, really going to like what they see.
And how much more help do we need at that position, given the attrition?
Man, I don't think Kirby Smart could have thought they're going to lose Mark Webb. I mean, you think about the numbers. You lose LeCount. You lose Mark Webb. You lose Tyson Campbell. You lose Tyree Stevenson. I mean, you know, you're losing probably six of your top seven defensive backs. And, oh, by the way, you opened up with Clemson. So when you start looking at things, there's a lot of positions that are wide open. Safety position, star position, two corner positions. You know, you look at that as a Georgia fan, you start worrying a good bit. I'll say this. Their front seven is as good as anybody in the country. So that's an advantage to that secondary. You're not going to have to cover long, because that quarterback's going to get the ball out of his hands when you play Georgia. But still, you need experienced guys. It starts early. No, you know, no secret, they open up with Clemson. But I think Georgia's going to hit the transfer portal for at least one defensive back. Doesn't have to be right now. It could be a thing that happens in May. Could be a thing that happens in June. They're pretty specific on what they're looking for. Someone that's long and can run. And that's been a standard for Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, and those guys in the secondary. You got to be able to run to play at the University of Georgia, play a lot of man-to-man coverage. So they'll be looking for something like that. And they'll take at least one defensive back in this transfer portal, no question in my mind.
Rusty, in the midst of all this attrition, the transfer portal, the declarations for the NFL, you can't overlook, too, there's another signing period coming up in February. And I'm wondering, is Georgia in the mix for players there?
Yeah, there's certainly one everybody's looking at now. And, you know, if I'm Kirby Smart, it's an easy, hey, look, man, everything's wide open. Terry and Arnold, he's a top 25 player in the country on 24/7 Sports. Got a lot of, you know, I went down and watched him work out in Tallahassee. I made a South Georgia trip maybe in August and went over one afternoon, watched him work out. Reminds me a lot of Richard LeCount, maybe a little bit bigger than Richard. I think he can play safety or corner. Looks like this is going to be a Georgia, Alabama, Florida battle for him. I think Georgia, and I don't know 100%, but I think Georgia probably has three spots left. I would say they're saving at least two for the transfer portal. But I think, no question, Terry and Arnold is a guy that Georgia fans understand who he is. He's one of the top defensive backs in the country, and his need just went up a lot for University of Georgia after the last couple of weeks with the people that's left. And I think Terry and Arnold, if Georgia's really, really there for him, I don't know what much more they can say to him, but, hey, you got a chance to start day one, and that's obvious.
Let's turn our attention away from Georgia to some other SEC schools real quickly. And who in the SEC really needs to help themselves in this February signing period that maybe didn't get as much done as they'd have liked to back in December?
I think two schools. You look at Auburn and South Carolina. Obviously, with coaching changes, it's going to be those types of things. Auburn's got, you know, they've got a lot of spots left. South Carolina's got a ton of spots left. I think Shane Beamer signed seven kids. So, you know, they brought in some transfers. They could be looking to sign 10 or 12 kids in February. But Auburn's a school, new head coach, new staff, new guys. They're going to have to find some guys they like. It'll be interesting to see where they go. As far as kind of not finishing the way you want to, Mississippi State had a rough last couple of days in December. Ole Miss flipped a couple of guys from them. LSU flipped a couple of guys from them. So Mississippi State's got some work to do. You look at the coaching changes, obviously, at Auburn and South Carolina. Those guys have got to finish. Tennessee's been hit hard by the transfer portal, lost former five-star offensive tackle Wanya Morris from the transfer portal this week. So, you know, they got some work to do as well in the transfer portal.
Rusty, it's amazing how it never stops. I mean, we just had the national championship game on Monday night, and here we are, you know, talking about the need and not only need, but just how critical everything is going forward here as we move through 2021. So, you know, God bless you.
Roger, man.
You're staying busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it you know, usually get a little bit of time in February after that second signing day. But, man, in today's day and age, camp start up then, 7-on-7 start up then. I got an email this last night. There's a 7-on-7 camp in Georgia in early March, already 52 teams. Teams from like 9 states are going to be here. So, you know, whether you like it or not, football is almost year-round now. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of playing multiple sports. I love kids to play basketball, track, baseball, do all those things you can. But, you know, I can't stop the trend, but I'm starting to see the trend of more kids being sports-specific and doing the off-season training, 7-on-7, those types of things. So, you know, I'll go out and cover those. But you're right, Chuck. Right now, man, the last couple of years it hasn't slowed down. And these college coaches get paid a ton of money. But, man, I know why for sure.
Yeah, if anybody does, you do. Recruiting analyst Rusty Manziel from Dogs 24/7. Again, let me remind all of you, you can go to 247.com. You can get a full year subscription for half price. Stay right on top of everything the Dogs are doing recruiting-wise. And Rusty, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, Rusty Manziel here with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to check in with one of the senior writers at ESPN, a guy that I got to tell you, if stories are breaking, this guy's probably the one breaking them. Mark Schlabaugh, he's going to join us next right here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
It's Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia Zone Credit Union Studios in the Butzmir Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, welcome back, and we were hoping to catch up with Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN, but Mark's tied up, so we're going to jump to our good buddy Scott Howard, the voice of the Georgia Bulldogs. And Scott, it's been one of those seasons that we had to just kind of, you know, get through, and we did with college football, and the Dogs losing one of the two games. But Dogs came out of it.
You know what, Chuck? You broke up on me. I didn't hear your question.
So, okay, well, I was just talking about looking back at this year and the fact that, you know, that we got through it. Georgia did lose a game, one of only two lost in the Southeastern Conference. But all in all, I mean, I think I was – there's no doubt it wasn't as much fun this year as it's been in the past. But we got through it, and it ended well for Georgia, and I think overall I'm pleased.
Yeah, it was a lot more work, I think, for everybody. I mean, for fans and for participants and for what we do, and it wasn't as much fun. I mean, there was a lot more uncertainty, obviously, and I don't even know if it was week to week. It was more day by day. You know, we're going to play this week.
You know that great quote from Greg McGarrity: "You're only as good as Thursday's COVID test."
Yeah, that's kind of it. And that's not any fun either. Speaking of things that aren't really fun, and that's something that we have to do now for just for men's basketball. But it definitely different this year. I was glad that Georgia was able to finish what they did and finish how they did. You know, they got to one of the big bowl games and able to win the bowl game. So you can put that in your file folder and start planning for next season. And hopefully as we go along here, you know, things
get a little bit closer and closer back to the way we used to live life.
Scott, this past season with the roster that that Kirby Smart had, and now there's been some attrition, but there have also been some additions. And when you look at this roster, will this be a better team in 2021?
Well, I think that's what you always hope for. You know, you always hope for something better than what you had, and George is always trying to build and add and improve, and as is every team. I think we're seeing now, all the guys that continue to announce their plans for their future, and a pretty good list of impressive names that will be coming back for Georgia. You certainly like that. If you can play experience, you would rather do that over being forced to play a lot of freshmen who certainly have talent, but they don't have the time put in at this level. So the more guys that can come back and contribute, that's certainly what you want. And, shaping up, Georgia's looking like it'd be pretty good on offense. I mean, defense is going to be the question, obviously. There are a lot of losses there, mostly in the secondary, and that's where Georgia's question marks are going to be. And that's probably therein lies the answer to your question. Will Georgia be better next year? If they can shore up that defense, and especially in the secondary, because of all the attrition that we've had, then yes. If they can, then yeah, I think Georgia's got a shot to be, again, one of the top four or five teams in the country.
Is it fair to say that when JT Daniels took over the quarterbacking position, that everything rose for Georgia as far as expectations, but also performance on the field?
Yeah, it seemed like it. I mean, I don't know if it was a confidence thing or what, but you just kind of felt like Daniels knew what he was doing, and was just waiting for the opportunity to show everybody else that he knew what he was doing and he could execute on the field. It did really seem like that things got better in a hurry when he assumed the job as the starting quarterback. So I guess that would be that's an accurate answer to your question. That I think he made everybody better. And certainly that confidence thing is pretty key. I mean, we see that a lot in college basketball. If you have a lot of faith in what you're doing and the guys around you that you can do it well, you're probably going to do it well. If you don't, if you have doubt and all of that, then that's going to creep in and that's going to really affect your performance.
Well, it was obvious that that he and Todd Monken were on the same page about particularly I thought that it made a difference was the deep ball. And when you put that in your arsenal, it makes a huge it puts a much bigger burden on defenses if they know that there are guys that can run by them and there's a quarterback that can get that ball to them.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't shy about doing that. I mean, he'll just rear back and unleash the thing and sling it down the field as many times as it takes. And he has confidence and faith in the receivers. And that's a great relationship that football teams have to have, and their quarterback and the receivers, they have to have that trust and faith that, the guy's going to be open, the guy's going to catch your pass, you're going to put it on target, and you don't have any questions about, should I be throwing it to this guy, should I be throwing it to this spot, all of that stuff. I mean, it just becomes natural once you've done it enough times over and over, and that's what JT looked like when he was certainly at the end of the season. I mean, he looked like he'd been playing, forever with these guys. And he loves that deep ball, and that's a great weapon for any team. And Georgia certainly developed it with a lot of long passes towards the end of the year. And most of them were completions, which is good. And again, we saw that in the Peach Bowl game, how many times Georgia went deep and had success doing it.
Yeah, that I'll tell you, the guy I'm really excited about seeing again next year is Arian Smith, who seemed to come on. I mean, he is just blindingly fast.
He's going to be a headache. He's that one guy that, he always had to slow down to to catch the football because he was he's got such great speed. He always outran the pass. So yeah, if they can get that timing down a little bit better with him, JT's got another great weapon to throw to.
I got a couple of minutes left with you, and just real quickly, let's turn our attention to basketball. And last night, a bit disappointing, losing to Auburn, and second game that the Dogs really struggled in the second half. But we did see some light at the end of the tunnel there, I thought, with KD Johnson getting eligible and what he brought to the picnic last night.
Yeah, he was exciting last night, and that's kind of how he plays, and that's what Tom Crean said after the ball game, that, you know, that was the one guy on the court last night that Auburn just didn't run through on their way to the basket. I mean, they attacked a lot last night, and, you know, we saw a lot of in the paint points for Auburn, a lot of uncontested stuff around the rim, and Georgia certainly got to shore that up and answer a few other questions defensively to get this thing back going in the right direction. But KD played a fine game last night in his first in his debut as a Bulldog, and it was exciting to see him get out there and just all the energy that he had and that he brought to the floor. I just wish, you know, he could have had that energy channeling through the other four guys on the floor defensively against a very good Auburn team yesterday. And this is a different Auburn team too. You know, you want to say, well, they didn't have any wins either before last night in league play, but you know, Sharif Cooper makes them a completely different team,
He just joined them last weekend. So
you're only right. His second game last night, so they're going to be a better team with him on the floor, and hopefully Georgia will be too with KD Johnson. He'll continue to get a lot of minutes. He played 30 minutes last night, and I wouldn't expect him to play any less if he continues to play like that.
Right, and next up is in Oxford on Saturday against Ole Miss, and you kind of get that feeling if Georgia can get an SEC win or two under their belt that they will be a much better team?
Yeah, I think so. It's just a matter of getting over that hump again this year, and you know, I mean, I'm probably like most people. I thought we would have already been there. To be honest with you, I thought we would have already had at least one win in league play. You know, that LSU was up for grabs, the LSU game, and that's really the only one that has been up for grabs. And maybe that's, you know, I think you brought that up last night on our broadcast that, you know, maybe that game, that loss is kind of still floating around in our heads, and we can't seem to shake it because the last two games since the LSU loss have been, you know, a competitive first half, but then in that second half, it's just really gone down the drain on the Bulldogs and gotten away and turned into a rout. You got to put that stuff behind. There's still a lot of games to play, and there's still time to turn this thing around. So hopefully that starts on Saturday in Oxford.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that that's the case. Scott Howard, the voice of the Georgia Bulldogs, here with us. Scott, thanks so much. I will, of course, see you on Saturday morning, and we will take a break and be back with a wrap-up right after this.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Hi, this is Vince Dooley, and you're listening to the Georgia Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan, now on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Go Dogs indeed, Coach, and welcome back. And just wrapping up here, putting a bow on this week. And Scott Howard was talking about, obviously, the men's basketball team back in action on Saturday, a noon tip-off against Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi. But also, keep in mind, our women's team, 10-1, they are in Knoxville tonight, taking on the 23rd-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. So, Joni Taylor's squad doing an extremely good job. Let's keep our fingers crossed for them. Stay tuned next for Home Team in Hamilton here on 680 The Fan. To all of you in the Bulldog Nation, let's have a great Bulldog Day.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.